What makes us happy in the Lord? You ever thought about that? What makes you happy in the Lord? Are you happy today? We got a lot of things to be happy about, don't we? I'm going to take a reading lesson from 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read 25 verses. That's the whole chapter, so please bear with us. What makes us happy in the Lord is the question that I want to address today. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, and to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold and your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest these times, in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, and your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, he says of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, I know that was a lot of reading today, but I felt it very needful to breathe all of these verses of Scripture and think about the things that the Apostle Peter wrote to us and how that it is so good for me to understand a lot of the things that he was talking about. For you see, if you have the Lord in your heart, you know what makes you happy, don't you? What makes us happy in the Lord? Well, today as I began to think about and studying about the things that I would say today, the one verse that really stuck out to me was verse 8. You know, we haven't seen the Lord yet, but we love him, don't we? How do we know that we love him? I'll tell you how we know that we love him, because it says here, even though we haven't seen him yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That ought to make you smile for just a few moments anyway, right? But we live in a world today that seemingly has forgotten about what really makes you happy. You ever thought about that? There was a document that was passed in Congress on July the 4th in 1776. Did you know that? And it was a unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America at the time. There was only 13 states. And in that document, which is the Declaration of Independence, it says this. The first paragraph says, "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station," it says, "to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. A dissent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation." And the most commonly quoted paragraph of this Declaration of Independence is the next one. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So what is the pursuit of happiness? The pursuit of happiness is defined as a fundamental right mentioned in the Declaration of Independence to freely pursue joy and live life in a way that makes you happy, as long as you don't do anything illegal or violate the rights of others. Our Sunday school teacher this morning was all over this lesson. He even concluded at the end of his lesson what I felt in my heart was going to be the conclusion of this message today. But before I do, I want all of us to know that I am happy. Are you happy? I have a lot to be happy about. I'm happy that I understand what our founders of this country, when they wrote that it is an inalienable right to all the human beings that live in the United States of America to have life, liberty, and happiness. Is that correct? Almost. But you see, the United States of America, that's the way they view it. But they left out one key word. Happiness has to be pursued. It's a pursuit of happiness. Now, in order for us to understand what it means to pursue happiness, I want you to notice that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is a well-known phrase in the United States Declaration of Independence. And the phrase gives three examples of the unalienable rights which the Declaration says have been given to all human beings by their Creator, and which governments are created to protect. That's the role of the government, to protect those rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that has been provided by our Creator. So Webster defined in 1828, he said the pursuit is a noun. If it's our view today to express true happiness that comes from God, we have to understand that we have inalienable rights that says that we can pursue after those things. The word pursuit means the act of following with a view to overtake. It means to act of following with a view to overtake, of following with haste, either for sport or in hostility, as the pursuit of a game or the pursuit of an enemy. But that's not what the founders were referring to. They were referring to one of three definitions that Noah Webster defined even in 1828, and that's the first one. The word pursuit means a following with a view to reach, accomplish, or obtain, endeavor to attain to or gain, as the pursuit of knowledge, the pursuit of happiness or pleasure, or the pursuit of power, of honor, of distinction, or of a phantom. So what we are looking at here is that everyone in the United States of America has the right to pursue after happiness. And he says that that view is in sight. Now, as we look at each other today, and you look at me, as we go into this message, what makes us happy in the Lord is what I really want to focus on. Happiness is in view for everyone that wants to attain it. And a lot of times, the reason people are not happy is because their view of not having happiness, or looking at the view of everything else that brings us down. Now, in order for us to take some scriptures and talk about it for just a little while, I'm going to come to the conclusion of what makes us happy in the Lord, and I'll bring that out in just a little while. But before I do, I want to look at one of the most famous sermons that's ever been preached. Have you ever thought about the most famous sermon that's ever been preached? What is the most famous sermon that's ever been preached? In my opinion, there's only one. There's been millions. I would say there's been millions of sermons that have been preached. Has every one of them made you happy? I believe it's a pattern for which a sermon should be preached. That sermon was preached in Matthew chapter 5. By none other than Jesus Christ, our Savior. Have you ever noticed how he started that message? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read at least the first 12 verses of this sermon. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, Jesus said, or Matthew said that of Jesus, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, and these are the Beatitudes. The word blessed here, or blessed, however you want to pronounce it, means happy. Did you know that? Jesus, in his first 9 comments in his sermon, mentions the word happy 9 times. When you get ready to listen to a sermon, whether it's a rebuking sermon, whether it's a chastening sermon, whether it's a sermon of teaching you something, or you need to be happy about it. You may not be happy about the context of it, because oftentimes when sin is reproved, it doesn't make us very happy, but you need to be happy that somebody took on the boldness and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to tell you that sin is still sin, and when it is preached, we need to be happy that it still is. Jesus said in these verses of Scripture, He said, "Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, when Jesus was opening these words from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 through 12, there's something I want to identify today from the help of my wife when I asked her this morning. I said, "How many Beatitudes are there?" And she proceeded to tell me what the fruits of the spirits were. And I said, "Well, honey, I'm glad you told me what the fruits of the spirits were, but I didn't ask you that." I said, "What are the Beatitudes?" "Oh," she said, "oh, I believe there's 8 or 9. Well, 9 is correct. But there's something else," she said. She said, "Some of them have the word M in them. Some of them have the word P. And I never picked up on that. But I'll tell you, it's in there. If you look real closely, there's 3 M's, R, 5 P's. You say, "What do you mean, 3 M's, R, 5 P? Well, when you look at these, Jesus, he was systematically putting this out to us to where we could understand that he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." There's your first P, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What's he saying? We're happy when we're poor in spirit. How can you be happy when you're poor in spirit? Because if you're just constantly worrying about or dreading or dwelling on a poor spirit, you're going to be brought down. But a person with a poor spirit, what they can understand is what Jesus said in the next part. He said, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We might be poor in spirit today. You may be poor in spirit today. You may have come in today and thought to myself, "Well, I guess we've got to listen to another one of them sermons about don't do this and don't do that." And the Lord wouldn't let me preach on don'ts today. He said, "You come and you tell them what makes you happy in the Lord." I tell you, when I'm poor in spirit and I start thinking about Jesus, doesn't that make you smile? I see a few people smiling. Maybe it hadn't made you happy yet. So Jesus, he's got all this multitude of the people. He sat down, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, "Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit." He says, "For yours is the kingdom of heaven." He personalized that. So we see the first P of the 5 P's. Now let's go to the next one. We'll see the first M. The next thing he says is, "Blessed or happy." "Happy are they that mourn." Starts with an M. Have you ever been happy in mourning? I talked to a man this week who was happy in the Lord. He said, "I can't grieve." I said, "Well, Brother Jeff, why can't you grieve?" He says, "Is that wrong?" I said, "No, it's not wrong." His mother had just passed away. He said, "I can't grieve because she's in a better place." There's a lot of people in the world that just don't understand that. Jesus says, "Happy is that person that mourns." He says, because when you can be happy and you're mourning, it's because you allowed me to comfort you. I don't know who showed up that day to listen to the sermon, but I got a little vision of who they might have been. First of all, we see the disciples. But I see people coming from all walks of life. I've seen people that come that day that probably were mourning in their heart because they'd given up a loved one. I see people that were coming there that couldn't find their way and they had to have somebody help them because they were blind, the maimed, the deaf, and all these people of all walks of life and all different colors of people and all kinds of people that were mourning even for their souls. And they came to hear the great Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, "Blessed or happy are they that mourn."
or they shall be comforted. He didn't stop there. He brings out the next M. The next M of these three M's that he talks about is in the verse 3, and he says, in verse 5, blessed are the meek. He said, blessed are the meek. He says, happy are the meek. You know why? He says, happy are the meek or the lowly or those that might feel like you don't have much in this world, that you haven't done much in this world. He said, don't look at the world. He said, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That ought to make you happy. Especially somebody that didn't have a shackle or a dime or anything in their pocket. He says, just keep being meek. You're going to inherit the earth. And then he gets to the next word. Happy, 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 happy. That's what he just kept telling everybody. Happy, happy, happy. Because here we find the word are. In the next verse he says, blessed or happy that which do hunger and thirst. After what? After righteousness. Happy is that person. And I believe everyone that's truly saved can relate to this. I don't believe there's one person. I don't believe one person that's ever truly been saved that after they got saved was mad about it. Show me somebody that was. Show me somebody that is. I see a lot of heads that are shaking back and forth. I'll tell you, when somebody finds righteousness after they've been hungered and they thirst, Jesus said they're going to be so happy. You know why? Because they got filled up. I pray that God just fill you up with so much happiness today that every person that walks out of this building has got a big old smile on your face because you know why you're happy today. Jesus said in the next verse, so we find here's the R. I told you three R's and three M's and an R and five P's. Compliments of our wife today. In the next verse, we find the next M. He said, blessed are the merciful. Why? Happy are the merciful. You know, it's pretty easy to have mercy on somebody else when you've had mercy yourself. That ought to make everybody happy. Oh, Jesus said, happy are you, blessed are you, when the merciful. Why? Because they obtain mercy themselves. And when we're happy in that way, we understand what Jesus is saying. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then the rest of the P's. Here they come. Are you happy yet? If you're not happy yet, then look at verse 8. Happy are the pure in heart. Have you got a pure heart today? I'll tell you, if you got a pure heart, you got something to be happy about. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know how we can be happy about it? Jesus said, if you got a pure heart, not only do you get to hear me preach this sermon, not only do you get to see me preach this sermon, but you get to see my Father. That ought to make everybody happy. Amen. We get to see God. Not just hear about Him, not just feel Him, we get to see Him. Jesus said, you ought to be happy if you're pure in heart because you get to see God. Doesn't that make you happy? Then he says in verse 9, happy. Happy are the peacemakers. There's your other P. Peacemakers. He says, happy are peacemakers, or blessed are peacemakers. Why? Oh, I love this title. Because you're called the children of God. I'm happy to be the son of Harold and Wilma Spurgeon. And if you didn't know, it's Harold Jean Spurgeon. It's Wilma Jean Spurgeon. So they thought of an authentic name and called me Ronald Jean Spurgeon. That makes me happy. But you know what makes me more happy? Oh, I'm happy to be there, son. But I'm overjoyed with joy unspeakable and full of glory because I'm a child of the King. That's something that'll make over everybody that's here that knows the Lord, and that'll make you happy today. I'm happy in my soul because I know that Jesus lives in there. So he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Does that mean if you're not a peacemaker? I'll tell you, if you're a peacemaker, it'll be evident in the presence of God and everybody else. If you're a peacemaker, there'll be have to have something that will help you to be that way. And what helps us to be that way is God. Because it's a contradictory to what the world is searching for. You see, that's what I want to impress upon the United States of America. You're looking in all the wrong places if you're just not looking for God for true happiness. Jesus, he didn't stop there. Here goes the next P. How in the world can you be happy when you're persecuted? The next word of the P's is persecution. And what did Jesus say? He said, now all of you out there that are getting persecuted, you can be happy. How would you like to hear that from a preacher? It ought to make you happy. Why should it make you happy? Because Jesus says, he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see, some people, they're being persecuted, but not for righteousness' sake. But if you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, there must be something a little bit different. Oh, no, let me go on to say, there's usually something a lot different than you in the world. You got something to be happy about, even in persecution. For he says, happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you, I don't know how much that Jesus impressed upon all of these people, how that they could be happy every day of their life. Many of them didn't have anything of this world's goods like you and I have today. But you know what? He says you can still be happy if you got the right view. As your pastor, that's what my responsibility is, to preach to myself and to everyone here that we can still be happy in a society that sees where there is no happiness. We the people can be that way. We the people can be at least a minute organization in the world of the United States of America that can go out these doors today and say, I am happy in the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about putting on. I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about really being happy in the Lord. And when things and trials and tribulations and the fiery trials come our way, be reminded, go back and read what Peter said. Every time you feel that way, just take notice that you are bought with a price. You were redeemed with something more precious than silver and gold. We were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. How many people that heard that sermon that day really let that sink in, that the one that was preaching to them was the one that was going to make happiness available to every soul that wants to pursue it? Think about that. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean true happiness. Then here comes the R. And in this verse, you said, well, I thought there was just one R. In this verse, We find all three letters. Did you notice that? What you're going to find is the next verse is M, P, and R. Verse 10 said, and we just discussed that, happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But look real close at verse 11. Happy are ye when men, him, shall revile you, R, and P, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Did you notice that? Jesus said, after he told all those people to be happy, and then he tells them, even when you're falsely accused and reviled and persecuted, and you've got all kinds of evil things that people talk to you about, and maybe even this sermon that goes out on the airwaves today, when the people began to falsely accuse every one of us, the next word that comes out of his mouth is rejoice. Rejoice. And be exceeding glad. A lot of people say, well, I'm glad about that. He said, you'll be exceeding glad. Are you happy yet? Rejoice. Be exceeding glad. He says, for great is your reward in heaven. And so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You think you're going to go through persecution? My prophets were really persecuted. And I don't know if this is the right phrase, but look at me now. How many of them are saying, look at me now? We talked about Lazarus laid at that gate full of sores. Did he ever have anything good happen to him? Absolutely he did. He did. You can be happy about it. You know why? Because he's skipping all over glory land now. Them dogs ain't licking his sores no more. There's a lot of people that just barely got around here. And many of them, they were just as happy as a lark. And by comparison of many people that are in the United States of America, they don't have a thing. But now, see me now. They found the Lord. They were happy in the Lord. And no matter what came their way, they could go on knowing that there's something far greater and better that we can rejoice and be exceedingly glad about, that Jesus went away to prepare a place for every one of us. That ought to make you happy. It makes me happy. So happy are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner evil against you falsely for my sake. You say, why'd you have to go back and read that? Because I left out for my sake. I didn't impress upon you that we're not just doing this for show. We're not doing it to be heard. We're doing it for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us happy. Even when it feels like nobody's listening. Nobody wants to join in. It may seem that way at times. And I know it does. I know it does. But you can still be happy in the Lord. Conclusion. I told you I had a conclusion. What makes me happy? I want to pause for just one moment. The title of the message is what makes us happy in the Lord. Now I want you to personalize it. What makes me happy? What makes you happy? What makes me happy? I've got life, I've got liberty, and I choose to pursue happiness. I don't choose it every day, and I don't pursue it every day, and God, forgive me for that. But I pray that He'll help me from this day forward, from this moment forward, to understand that it's my right as a citizen of the United States of America, as a member of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, as a citizen of Kentucky, as a resident of Tennessee, or wherever you might be, you have the right to pursue happiness. What makes me happy? I got through, and all this was just this morning, folks. I just started on this morning. I got an outline, and I've got it all written out there or typed out there as God was giving it to me. And I got to the end, and the voice spoke to me in my study. And I said, what really makes me happy? And there was a voice that came over me that said, what makes me happy is dwelling on the goodness of God. I don't know what makes you happy, but when I dwell on the goodness of God, it makes me so happy. And then I began to look up some scriptures that back what I'm saying. Do you know the goodness of God is from Genesis to Revelation? Do you know the goodness of God was smiled upon the United States of America, who was being oppressed because there was a government that says you're going to worship God this way? And there was a group of men that said that ought not to be. We ought to be able to worship our Creator in the way that God has pressed upon our heart. And there were some brave men and women who said that that's the way it ought to be for every little baby that's born in the United States of America to have the ability, no matter what the color of your skin is, no matter how old you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how young you are, everyone should have inalienable rights given to you by the Creator to seek after and pursue after life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And when we get to the point where we understand that, we'll know that it's all because of the goodness of God. Here are these verses of scripture. The first one is Psalms 25 and 8. You know what it says? Psalms 25 and 8 says this: good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. You see, that backs up what Jesus is saying. He got up before those people and said, all the people that gathered there that day, He gathered them all in and He began to teach them. The first thing He says is, you need to be happy. I know the Roman government is suppressing you. He didn't say that, but every one of them had to be thinking about that. But we're slaves to these Romans. They won't let us do anything. And if we get out of line, they just take us and they hang us on a stake. And they've got these cruel executioners and they do everything to us. But Jesus didn't say, dwell on that. He says, be blessed. You're happy. You're happy. And the reason you're happy is because of me. He didn't have to say that. I just know it. So the psalmist sung a long time ago in Psalms 25, good and upright is the Lord. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Therefore, will He teach sinners in the way. The next one that I wrote down was Psalms 33 and 5. Psalms 33 and 5. If you're having a bad day, make sure you got these verses of scripture, because I'll tell you, when you dwell on the goodness of God, it will make you happy. Next verse says, He loveth righteousness and judgment. He said, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You see, a lot of people just don't look for it. And the reason they don't look for it is because they want to dwell on everything else that's going wrong, or what they tell you on the 5 o'clock and the 9 o'clock and the 10 o'clock news and all through the night. If you dwell on that, you're not going to dwell on the goodness of God. The third one. I love this one. I've used it as a text before. I use it as a text in the pulpit, and I preached on this. That is Psalms 34 and 8. I'll tell you, it's going to make you so, so happy. When the writer said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. You see, even the psalmists were telling us that we can be happy if we just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. But getting ourselves to a place where we can pursue after that, where we want that more than anything in this life, it's difficult, isn't it? And Jesus addressed that. But before he addressed that, Nahum said in the prophet, he said in Nahum 1:7, he said, "The Lord is good." I like this verse. I didn't really, I've read it before, but it just, sometimes they stick. He said, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." Amen. You ought to write that down, because I'll tell you one thing, after you've heard this message, there's going to be some trouble. You say, "How do you know that, Brother Spurgeon?" I'll tell you, any time that you dwell on the goodness of God, Satan will do everything he can to rob God of that. Amen. Oh, just be happy. Nahum said, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them." I like this. "He knoweth them that trust in him." He knows if you're putting on. He knows if you're honest. He knows if you're sincere. He knows what we need when we need it. Maybe you didn't need this today, but I reckon I needed it. And I've come to the conclusion I need it every day, Brother Don. Seems like you take two steps forward for the Lord, trying to do the right thing, and the devil will knock you back four. But don't get discouraged. Be happy. Because I'll tell you, those that are not doing anything for the Lord, they're not getting knocked down, because the devil's got them right where he wants them in right now. It's no effort at all. If you want to be happy in church, if you want to be happy in the United States of America, you've got to pursue it. There was a man that wanted to pursue it one day. He was a young ruler that was rich. He came to Jesus in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. He came up to him and he says, "Good master, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" That's how the conversation started. You know what Jesus told him to do? "Go away and be happy." Now you say he did not say that. What did he say? He says, if you really want to have eternal life, he said, go sell everything you got and keep the commandments. And he said, "Which one?" Jesus told him a few. But you know what? He said, "You got to keep all of them." And none of us can do that. That makes me happy in the Lord, because I know Jesus did. But listen to this reply from Jesus when he said this. Matthew 19:17. And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" He said, "There's none good," he said, "but one." We talked about that one mediator today. We talked about our mediator today. We talked about the one true God. Jesus said, "There's only one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life," he says, "keep the commandments." And when you keep the commandments of the Lord and you trust in him, there's going to be some times when you just don't feel very happy, because you're going to get attacked. And sometimes you get attacked by the ones that are closest to you. Jesus said, "Go sell all you have and come follow me." But you know what he did? He made a choice that he'd rather have happiness in his treasures and the things that he owned than to get rid of it all and be happy in the Lord. Jeremiah 33:11 is another good one. Jeremiah 33:11, make sure you write this one down, because he said, and he wrote a whole book of Lamentations where he wept and cried. You might say, "Well, how in the world could Jeremiah ever be happy? How would you like to be a preacher that gets up and preaches to your own people every day, day in and day out, that gets stiff-necked and said, 'We're just not going to do what you say to do'?" That's what he had to face every day of his life. They even put him in a dungeon. He's sunk in a miry clay. There's so many things that Jeremiah went through. But then he came to the conclusion in Jeremiah 33:11. He says, a voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at first, saith the Lord. What a promise. Nobody was listening to Jeremiah, but God said, you just keep on praising me because I'm going to turn this thing around. That ought to make you happy. And if you hadn't written all those down, make sure you write down Psalms 23:6. Because I have come to the conclusion that when I dwell on the goodness of God, I can be as the psalmist said in Psalms 23:6. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That ought to be enough. But that's not all he's saying. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I shall dwell in the house. I get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, God. That's what makes me happy in the Lord.
Thank you.
anyone have anything on their heart?
Well, first, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul and for letting me be here today. And I started to say most of all for being here with us today, and that most of all for saving my soul. Also because I felt His Spirit today. I just thank
Him. Amen. I did too. Thank you, Brother Terry. Somebody else.